Now, this is part three. It's going to be part three tonight of a series I started a few Sunday nights ago entitled Beware of the Snare. And in case you haven't been here, some of the previous Sunday nights were just looking through the Bible at all the times the word snare or snared or snares, that form of that word shows up in the Bible. We also have explained previously that that word snare is a trap, is something that is deceptive, something that looks one way but is really another. Mostly a snare is designed to come get you around you like a noose and take the life out of you. We've been looking at some things in the Bible that the Bible tells us is a snare. It will catch you. It will trap you. And one thing you want to remember about a snare as we get into this tonight, a snare is not something a person walks into on purpose. Amen. A bird does not walk into a snare thinking it would be a lovely day to have my neck choked, have the wind choked out of me today, my neck snapped by this noose in this snare. Nobody's walking along and saying, you know, hey, there's a snare. I think that's where I'm going today. That's not what a snare is about. A snare is something that deceives you and catches you unaware. And so we're going to look at some of these again tonight. And we'll probably have one more Sunday night. There'll be four parts of this series, Beware of the Snare. But these are some things as God's people we need to be aware of. And we need to look out and we need to be warned that they are possible snares in our life. Amen? Here we go. First one is Psalm chapter 9. And verse number 16 tonight, the book of Psalms, and we're in chapter 9 and verse number 16. And notice what the Bible says here, Psalm 9:16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Did you see that? The Bible says that the wicked is snared in the works of his own hands. And the first one we're going to look at tonight is the fact that you and I can be snared by our own ways. We have pulled out that pistol and cocked it many a times and shot our own selves in the foot, haven't we? Brother Russell, would you go ahead and pray tonight and then we'll get on into the message.
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I just want to come to you and thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for the singing, dear Lord. Thank you for the people.
Yes.
Lord, I just want to come to you now and ask that you would be in this service. I pray that
yes.
You would preach it. I pray that you would be with Brother Dennis. I pray that you would give him everything he needs, dear Lord. And I pray that you would give me the ears and the heart yeah. to receive it, dear Lord, and apply it to my life. I pray that you would be with these people. I pray that you would do the same, dear Lord. I
yes.
We wouldn't hear it and just dismiss it when we walk out through the door,
yes.
Lord. And I pray that you, the Holy Spirit who lives within us would remember the things, dear
amen.
Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The week, dear Lord, as we go through it and the
devil yes.
has tried to tempt us and place the snares in front of us, dear Lord. I pray that you help Brother Dennis preach. I pray you give him power and authority to do so.
Yes, Lord.
Bless the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. We can be snared by our own ways. It reminds me of something that happened to me many years ago when I was a teenager. Brother Keith Parker, that's the pastor up there at New Hope Baptist Church. Most of you know in here that him and I are first cousins and we grew up together. We spent many years serving the devil together and thank God now we're serving Jesus Christ together.
Amen.
But when we were teenagers, we used to trap. And we set out traps to catch coons and try to catch them. I don't think we were successful with the bobcats, but we caught a bunch of coons and we set these traps out. And my granddaddy was still alive, and he'd take whatever we caught along with some of the traps that maybe he put out, and maybe some of my uncles put out, and then we'd make a little money off of him. So we set these traps, and we'd get up before school. Some of you kids now, you have trouble getting up, going to school. We'd get up way before daylight, get ready, and go run those traps down there by the creek below our house, and then come back and go to school so we can get a little bit of spending money. Boy, things sure have changed since then, ain't they?
Amen.
Well, one evening, we was down there setting those traps and going to run them the next morning. And I was on one side of the field, and Brother Keith was on the other side of the field. And he was trying to set that trap, and I think we were setting a coon trap down there close to the creek. And somehow the bait, I think he had some sardines or something, and that bait started trying to slip off, and he was trying to reach in that trap to get that bait centered on that thing. Well, you know what happened? I heard, hollering, and I started running across the field. He was, help me, or something like that. I can't, that was a long time ago. And I got over there. You know what he did? He had gotten caught in his own trap. You know, people are like that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 26:27, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. If you and I are a wicked person and we get to the point where we're trying to set somebody else, we're trying to catch somebody else in their words like the Pharisees did Jesus. We're trying to trip somebody else up. We're trying to make somebody else fall. We're trying to mess with somebody else. You know what that Bible says? It says if you dig a pit for somebody else to come along and fall in, you're going to be the one that winds up falling in it. You roll a stone so you can get somebody else. You being a wicked person wanting to do that anyway, just watch out. The stone's going to roll back on you. You know what I think in my mind when I read that verse? I'm sorry, I'm a little bit childish, I guess. But when I read that verse, the only thing that pops in my mind is a cartoon of the Coyote and the Roadrunner. That's the first thing that comes in my mind. It's the Coyote and the Roadrunner. He's trying to kill the Coyote, and everything that he does, it comes back on him. He tries to blow him up, he gets blowed up. He tries to drop a rock on him, a rock falls on him. He tries to catch him with some kind of Acme invention, and he winds up running into the mountain. You can learn some spiritual lessons from the Coyote. That if you just have in your mindset that I'm going to get somebody and I'm going to go after somebody, I'm going to ruin somebody, I'm going to try to hurt somebody. Listen, the same thing that you're trying to do to them is going to happen to you. Amen. Listen, if you like to get on Facebook and talk about somebody real bad, don't come to me crying and tell me what they're saying about you on Facebook. Amen. You like to be mean to people and blow up like a, just like a tornado everywhere you go and telling people off and getting mad and getting angry or whatever. Don't come to me and complain when somebody does it to you. We can get caught in our own trap. And besides that, we can be our worst enemy. We have destroyed ourselves. We're snared by our own ways. But I want you to notice something in this verse. Look there in Psalm 9:16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is there to the working of his own ways. You know what the problem is? The problem's with us. This verse is about a fella that is wicked. And it talks about somebody that's wicked getting caught up in their own devices. Now, I know positionally we're not wicked if we've trusted Christ and you've been put in the body of Christ. Practically, I don't know. I don't know how you're living. But I'm telling you right now that I believe practically if you're living right and you're not a wicked person, you're trying to do right, you're trying to live for God, you're trying to go by the light that you've got, I don't think that this is a verse that's really going to apply to you. I think God sees our heart, and if you're just hell-bent, so to speak, to live wicked and to do wicked and ignore what God wants to tell you and don't make no reference to his word like we talked to this morning, and you've got your mind made up you're going to get back at somebody, or you're going to get somebody, you're going to walk all over whoever you need to move up in the world, or you're going to treat people bad, or you're just going to live a wicked lifestyle, then this verse is for you. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The same thing you're doing to somebody else is going to come back on you. And you know what you're going to do one day? You're going to be sitting in a jail cell or in a hospital bed or in divorce court or somewhere like that. And you're going to be sitting there one day and the realization is going to come that, you know what? I did this all to myself. Nobody did this to me. I'm the one that did it. I ruined my life. It's not the government's fault. It's not the teachers at school's fault. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not your mom and daddy's fault. Let me tell you something. Maybe your mom and daddy didn't raise you quite like they ought to have. But bless the Lord, oh my soul, when you get in your 20s and 30s, it's time for you to grow up and take responsibility for your own actions.
Amen.
Quit blaming your mom and daddy and how you were raised. There's very few people in this day and time under 50 years old that had a good child raising, okay? If you're sitting here and you were raised right and you're under 50 years old, you ought to praise God and thank God about for it. Many of us were not raised in church and not taught the Bible and didn't know anything about God. I don't want to hear it no more, okay? This ain't the Montel Williams show. This ain't Dr. Phil. We're not going to get you on here and try to straighten you out. If you'll get in this book and have a heart to do right, you can be straightened out.
Amen.
But if you don't want to get straightened out, you just keep on going the way you're going. You got your mind made up. Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to be ensnared. And you know what it is? It's going to be like when I watch these squirrels out in the yard sometimes, bearing thousands of nuts. I've even heard my wife say this. Other people say they don't remember where they put them. I don't think they do either. I think they just smell where they are. Just digging up your yard, bearing things. And you know what I think sometimes? I think how this evil goes is you bury a lot of stuff. You forget where you buried it.
Yeah.
It's like a landmine.
That's good.
It's like a fella sitting on a landmine. He's going to blow somebody else up and he winds up stepping on it. I tell you what's going to happen to you. You keep on going your way, and the thing that you think, nah, I got a hold of it. Now, I know where that is. That ain't going to get me. Oh, I know how to set that trap. You know, like Brother Keith was that day. He knew how to set that trap. I can handle it. Mm-hmm. One day that sin you're living in is going to get a hold of you. And it's going to destroy you. It's going to ensnare you. It's going to entrap you. And listen, it's going to be when you least expect it. Because you don't leave home one day and decide, you know, today is a good day to walk into a trap and have my life ruined. But you don't know how many teenagers, even older people, even some gray-headed people, I can handle it. Don't need no preaching. Don't need no Bible. Don't need no instruction. Don't need nobody telling me what to do. Until that day when you step in your own trap. Let's go to the next point. Let's go ahead and go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We can be snared by our own ways. For goodness sake, man, don't do it to yourself. Don't sabotage yourself. Don't be like that verse in the Bible. It says, thou hast destroyed thyself. Don't get in your mind how you're going to hurt somebody else. The same thing you got planned for them is going to happen to you.
Amen.
You want to be like Haman? You want to build the gallows to hang Mordecai? You wind up swinging from it? You know that story? That happens to a lot of people. All right, number two, not only can we be snared by our own ways, number two, we can be snared by the fact that we want to be rich. Listen to me now. I'm not talking about people that are rich. I'm talking about wanting to be rich. You might be the poorest fella here in this church, but if you're wanting to be rich, that's going to be a snare to you. Yes, I ain't never heard that. I ain't never seen that. Well, you just give me a minute and we'll read it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 9. But they that will be, not are, it says they that will be rich, fall into temptation and a what, church? And a snare. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Can it be any plainer than that tonight? Money is not the problem. The love of money is not the problem. If you work hard and God blesses you to be rich, hallelujah, there's nothing wrong with it. Wanting to be rich is what something's wrong with it. Having money is not a sin. Money having you is a grievous sin. Do you understand that? There's a big difference in that. So if you're one of those people that want to be rich, and again, let's just get on something we covered this morning, maybe I can finish off making somebody mad, and you want to travel across, you're mad because we don't have a state lottery here, and you got to go down to Florida and buy a ticket. You know, why are you going down to Florida to buy that ticket? You're wanting something for nothing. You say, well, I paid, yeah, you want to pay a dollar or two and get thousands. You're not working for it. You're helping to corrupt society. Matter of fact, you're in my way and in the way of good, decent people trying to pay their bills in there and trying to pay for their gas in there. You buying that stupid mess. Amen. This is good preaching now. You got no business playing the lottery. You're wasting God's money. And you know what you're wanting to do? You're hoping, man, if I can just hit that million, you're not going to hit the million. But if I can just hit that million, you know what your problem is? You want to be rich and you're striving to be rich and you think your best way to do it is come down there and win the lottery. If some of you spend as much time working and doing what God told you to do as you did right here, scratching off stuff, you might get ahead. Go back all the years you spent on the lottery and put that money in a savings thing or put it in a CD and go back about 20 years. I don't know how long some of you have been playing it and put it in there right now and you might have a little something.
Yeah. Amen.
All that stinking money you wasted. Some of you won't even look at me right now. Bless God, help this bunch that's playing that mess.
Amen.
There's something wrong with somebody that's trying to be rich. Listen, there's nothing wrong with you trying to better yourself. There's nothing wrong if God gives you a better job, making a better salary. Jump on it. I hope God blesses everybody in here. I hope you get more and more and more until you can't stand it. But I hope you don't get one thing more if it's got a hold of you. I hope you don't get one thing more if you can't handle it. Most people cannot handle it. That's why I don't get any more. If you want to be rich, it's going to be a snare. And let me just tell you this again. The poor people talk about the rich people all the time. I've heard this all my life about the rich. And I know most rich people probably are greedy and they probably do things that are not legal and whatever. I know they do shady deals and all that. But you know why you're saying all that? You're just jealous. You would do just like them if you had the opportunity. Some of you do worse if you can make $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. That's right. You're just jealous and envious because you ain't got what they got. Don't be upset with rich people. If they got it and God wants them to have it, then that's the perfect will of God for them. And if God wants you to be poor as a church mouse, and that's the perfect will of God for you, you'll sit back and say, thank you, Lord. If you gave me all that money, it'd probably ruin me. I want to be rich. Want something for nothing. And I'm going to tell you what this thing does. You say, how does this snare you? Well, look what he said there. They that will be rich will, what? Fall into temptation. There's some special temptations comes with a fellow that's got money or really trying to get money that folks that ain't got money are not really concerned how much money they get. That's some temptations they don't really have to put up with. And I'm telling you, the least amount of temptations I have in my life, the better off I am.
Right. Amen.
And a snare. And in the many, what does it say? Many, not, it doesn't say a few. Now look at the text tonight. Many, many foolish and hurtful lust. You're going to start lusting after some things. And it's going to be foolish what you're thinking about and wanting. And it's going to wind up hurting you. Which, listen, drown men. You can die by a snare and you can die by drowning. Take your choice. Which drown men in destruction and perdition. Do you know how many people that money or either their love for money has destroyed? We're talking about, I want to hit this dog one more time and then we're going to leave him alone. I'm going to hit this lottery business. Maybe some of you have not studied this lottery. I've studied it. Maybe what some of you need to do is go home and try to study some of our lottery winners across America.
Right.
Any of ever, I'm talking about the fellas that hit it big. I'm talking about the women and men that hit it big. I'm talking about won millions and millions at one time. Any of ever found out about what happened to them after they got it? You know how many, some of you shaking your head, you know about this stuff. Many of them get bankrupt. They don't have it. They lose their family. They lose their health. It don't help them. It causes them problems because they didn't, listen, because they didn't get it right. And the fact that they wanted it so bad ought to told will tell us something that when they did get it, they ain't going to do right with it.
Yeah.
Gets a hold of them. You say, well, what about those that want to be rich? How are they snared? Envy. I know of folks that's murdered other people because of envy. Greed. Just got to have more. Can't never have enough. Jealousy. That's just all the inward stuff that's in you when you love money. Then it starts getting out where you get involved in illegal acts. Shady deals. Doing things that are not right. Wind up forsaking your family and forsaking God. Let me tell you what I've seen in my years of living. Tonight, I'm going to give you $1,000 worth of information that will help you if you'll listen to me. This will really help you. Now, some of you ain't going to believe it, but it's really going to help you. Your problem tonight is not that you need a better job or a raise in salary. Really, it isn't. Because now you may be different, and I hope you are different. But I'm going to tell you what I've seen as a pastor for over 20 years and preaching years before that. You know what I've seen? Most of the time what I see is when somebody gets a better job or a pay raise, they just find more ways to spend it. They don't save anymore. If some of you went home tonight and your boss called you and you returned the call and they said, starting Monday morning, we're going to double your salary. You and your wife will sit up at 11:30 tonight talking about what you're going to do with it. And you wouldn't even mention giving some of it to God or putting some of it in the bank.
Yeah. Amen.
I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
We don't need more money. We need to do right and have the right mind and heart about the money we got.
Amen. Right.
That's what we need. That's good preaching, by the way.
Amen.
That'll help you if you do something. I know you didn't like it. I understand that. Sometimes preaching is like Robitussin cough syrup. That's horrible. It tastes terrible going down. But it'll cure the cough. So if you're sitting here tonight and you want to be rich, and you're thinking about money, boy, I'd like to have millions and millions of dollars, and you drive by and you covet somebody else's house, you covet somebody else's cars, you covet somebody else's money, you say, you're jealous. Listen, I can pick up the way people talk sometimes. If you've had something happen to you in your life and you don't have the money you once did, or you're not making the money you want to make, maybe God did that for you to help you.
Amen.
You didn't have enough character to have any more money. I'm not trying to insult you or be mean tonight. I'm telling the truth. You didn't have enough character to have more money. The most dangerous thing in the world is a redneck with money. The last thing we need is more rednecks down here in Loango with a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
You know what the famous last words of a redneck are, don't you? Hey, y'all watch this. Yeah, Brother Russell said that. I'm glad he's still alive. Do I have to keep preaching on this anymore? Are you getting the point? It's a snare. Your love and want for money is a snare. You would be surprised at how little you can be happy with. I cannot express to you the joy that I have in my... I know I keep telling you this story. I know how preachers are. They tell the same old mess over and over. Some of you go, I wish he'd move on to something else. But listen, man, let me tell you this. I'll move on to my last point tonight. We're just going to cover three. When my wife wakes up in the morning, and she usually gets up before me and she wakes me up and she's in the bathroom and she has a hair dryer that sounds like somebody's running a log truck in my bedroom. That hair dryer is so loud she wears earplugs when she's running it. I'm telling you the truth. But then she shuts that thing off and I say, good morning, baby. This is how she always says it. Good morning, darling. I have my wife or my son go in there and start me a pot of coffee and start smelling that stuff. What's a pot of coffee cost? Just a few cents. Go in there and get my cup, fill it up with coffee, go out there on my front porch, and there it is, my wonderful, beautiful rocking chair. I get in my rocking chair. I've got my King James Bible. The squirrels are coming out. The red birds are tweeting. Here comes the blue jays. Here comes the woodpecker. They're all running around. I got a canopy between me and my neighbor. Looks like Vietnam out there. There's just thousands of birds out there. They start flying down in my yard. I'm reading my Bible. I'm drinking my coffee. What did that cost?
Right. Yeah,
you did. I'm out there. It's a thrill, man. I'm so excited. Sometimes I'm crying. Sometimes I'm shouting. I'm praising the Lord. That coffee, that warm coffee, so good going down my throat, opening up my chest. Then it costs a thing.
Amen.
You ain't got to have $1 million to enjoy life.
Right. Amen.
Some of you just need to make up your mind to be satisfied with what God gave you, and you could enjoy something.
Amen.
All right, we got one more point tonight. Go back to Proverbs 13. Go back to Proverbs 13. Is this helping anybody tonight? Does this help anybody get a new perspective on what's really important? Well, how we'll look at things in life? Now, we'll look at one more thing tonight. Look at a couple of more verses found here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 13, 14. Proverbs 13, 14. The Bible says that the law of the wise is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares. There's that word. Snares of death. And then you see something like that over in Proverbs 14, 27. Proverbs 14, 27 uses that word again. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Death can be a snare. Now listen, for the Christian, it's not a snare. For the Christian, it's a promotion. For the Christian, it's our great day. When we leave this wicked world, we leave this messed up body, we get a new body, we get a mind like Jesus, we go to heaven and live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
But death can be a snare.
Amen.
Do you know how many people I know of that never think about dying? Listen, here's the thing. I probably think about dying way more than I should. Some secular psychologist would probably say that my infatuation with death is unhealthy. That may be what they write down. But listen, you can't do what I do and not think about death. You can't do what I do for the years I've done and not think about death. Hey, I've preached funerals over them like that. I preach funerals over them with the worst tragedies they are. I have memories in my mind of very still young in my 20s pastoring, going to a funeral home, little baby in the box, husband over here in this corner, wife over here in this corner. They're fixing to get a divorce. Both of them won't even talk to each other, crying. A little dead baby there in a little, like a little doll case. I have memories of getting a call and rushing to the Andalusia Hospital, and out in the parking lot, I can hear them screaming and crying and hollering, "Don't even get in the hospital. Daddy's been electrocuted." I've preached these funerals and seen people about knock the casket over trying to get in there with them. Don't you say nothing to me about thinking about death all the time.
Right.
I think about it all. You can't do what I do and not think about death all the time. You think I'm going to bury some people that were healthier than me and much younger than me and everything, and I'm going to walk around here thinking, it won't happen today.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'll die some other time. Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. If you're not, I'm not telling you to dwell on it. I'm not telling you to get fixated on it. I'm not telling you it ought to be something that burdens you down and bothers you where it gives you anxiety and fear. We should not have anxiety and fear if we are God's children about death. But there's something wrong with you if you're not every once in a while thinking, this may be my last day.
Amen.
This might be my last service tonight. This might be the last time I ever see my people here on earth. I might not ever wake up again. I tell you, lost people are like that. Some of these people, I've talked to folks, well, I know I need to get saved, and I will. I know I need to get right with God. I'll do it. I'll do it sometime later. I'll come back to the Lord. I'm going to live my life now. They're fools. If that's how you feel tonight, you're a fool. Let me tell you what's going to happen. One day, the snare of death is going to smack you. And you ain't even ready for it.
Amen.
A snare we talked about is something that's deceptive. And you are very deceived here tonight if you think that you just got many years ahead of you. That Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know us not what a day may bring forth. We don't, none of us know. Whatever we're going to do for God, we've got to do it right now. You say, why, Brother Dennis, every time you preach, do you preach with such urgency? If some of you had attended half the funerals I have, you would live your life with urgency. None of that bunch I preached their funerals, them little kids and younger people, thought they'd be going home. I know of pastors. I know of a pastor that died in his parsonage before he made it out of the service. I know a pastor that had a heart attack right in his pulpit. That'd be pretty good for you. It'd be pretty good for me. Devastating for you. I can't think of a better way to go. And Lord Jesus, come. Don't look like I got it. You know, I do 5 miles on the elliptical every day. I got a gym membership. I know marathon runners and professional athletes fell dead of a heart attack in their 20s. And I know folks that walk around, got a belly twice the size of me, seem to live forever. That's right. You and I don't know. And it's going to be a snare for us not to think about it, not to ever prepare for it, not to ever think that, you know, one day I'm going to die, and one day I'm going to answer to Holy God. If you're here tonight and somehow or another somebody's come back here tonight, or you've just come to visit with us tonight and you're not saved, the devil's got you trapped into thinking, it's all right, I'll make peace with God later, I'm not going to die, I'm too young to die, I'm too mean to die, or some of you say, I'm too sick to die, I got to get better to die. No, not that way. I encourage you to get saved tonight. You come right up here and talk to me. I'll show you in this Bible what it says about salvation. You can leave here and know that, you know what? It don't matter what happens now. I'm going to heaven when I die. If there's some Christian in here, you just goofing off. You're just putting things off. You won't never get serious about God. You won't never get totally dedicated. Yet in the back of your mind, you know you're going to answer to God. And you're a little worried about the judgment seat of Christ. Don't be caught in the snare thinking, man, I've got plenty of time. No, you don't. You don't know how much time you've got. And let me just say this. There's better people than any of us in here, including your preacher, that have died younger than us. We are absolute fools to think that at any moment God could not take us. Let us be ready. When I say be ready, I ain't just talking about being saved. I'm talking to the Christian. Don't let death be a snare to you. Let it be something that you look forward to. You look forward to that sweet, sweet deliverance. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Some of you in here is probably tired of me. But there ain't nobody in here as tired of me as I am. I can promise you that. And I'm going to try to live my life every day so when God comes back and gets me, I don't have nothing to worry about. Every head bowed and eye closed.